Welcome to the Bill Barnwell Show. I'm Bill Barnwell, ESPN. We are here on Friday. It's February 15th, 2019. A lot of NFL news today. Nobody's been traded, as I know, at least today so far. Before we record this show, Brian Poole's option, his restricted free agency option, has been declined, so he will be a free agent. Not much going on in the NFL, so we're going to take a step backwards today, look back at some of our preseason predictions, and very specifically, my good pal Chris Brown and I talked about our prop bets before the year. They've gone in very fascinating directions. I was sort of looking back at them today, and they've gone in very different directions in some ways from what we might have expected, but we're going to review them today. Joining me again to talk about that is ESPN's Chris Brown. Chris, how are you?
I'm thrilled to be here, Bill. I'm looking at this prop bet list, and I'm really proud of us because there are so many hilarious storylines baked into this list. Joe Flacco starts -6.5. Baker Mayfield starts. It warms my heart to see some of these now. And I'm laughing a lot as I start to go through this. I did not realize that Case Keenum's combined interception plus fumbles reached 26.
There's a reason that he's not going to be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos in 2019. Let's start with that Joe Flacco bet you mentioned. We'll start with this one. It's very simple. If you aren't familiar with prop bets, this is a really easy one to understand. Joe Flacco starts -6.5. Baker Mayfield starts. So the prop for the year is basically saying if Joe Flacco starts seven more games or more, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, whatever, seven or more starts as opposed to Baker Mayfield starts, then he would win the side of the bet. Otherwise, if Baker Mayfield, at least if he started more games than Joe Flacco, or if he came within six games of Joe Flacco's start total last year, Baker Mayfield would have won the bet. And as it turns out, Baker Mayfield started 13 games to Joe Flacco's 9, despite the fact that you went on this very podcast, Chris Brown, and said the safe play is that Joe Flacco makes 15 or 16 starts.
You know, Joe Flacco, It's interesting that the storyline right now and part of the analysis in his trade to Denver is that Joe Flacco's a 34-year-old injured guy. When Joe Flacco's career, aside from the ACL, has basically just been a guy who's probably going to start 16 games every season. And, you know, obviously that didn't happen this year. He had 9 starts. I'm trying to remember, though. I think I said I thought Baker could start 10 or 11 games. He ended up starting 13. Where was I here, Bill?
You picked Baker.
All right.
You said even though you had Joe Flacco starting 15 or 16 games, you had Baker Mayfield starting. I think you had 12 Baker Mayfield starts, and you started 13 games. On the other hand, I said Joe Flacco, not because I doubted – not because I thought Joe Flacco was going to get hurt. Obviously, I thought that – Tyrod Taylor was going to play a longer stretch of the season. As it turned out, New Jackson can only wait until, I believe, week 3 to bring Baker Mayfield into the lineup. So I should have faded New Jackson instead of fading Joe Flacco on that one. It's the lesson we've learned in case New Jackson gets another head coaching job. The other one you mentioned, Kirk Cousins, combined interceptions and fumbles, -4.5 versus Case Keenum's combined interceptions and fumbles. I have to admit, I listened back to the podcast this morning. I don't know what you picked. I don't know if you've actually made a selection on this prop bet. I chose Case Keenum, and that turned out to be the correct bet. Case Keenum had 26 combined interceptions and fumbles in a full season with the Broncos. Kirk Cousins only 19 with the Vikings.
I feel like I would have been on the wrong side of this.
Okay.
I really felt like Case Keenum would find a way to do a better job of limiting. I mean, I was shocked to see that he'd also, you know, the picks started to add up a little bit. He ended up with 15, but 11 fumbles. Yeah, Case Keenum went back to, he turned back into a pumpkin, wearing orange. Well, so yeah, I think I was off here, Bill.
He might be a pumpkin wearing blue.
There you go.
In a couple weeks, if my suspicions are correct, as you can check out in our NFL Dominoes thing for ESPN. Let's get to some other quarterback ones here. Another one that we disagreed on. Aaron Rodgers, full guarantee at signing, -$5.5 million. Matt Ryan's full guarantee, which we already knew to be 94 $1.5 million. Do you know where Aaron Rodgers came in for his full guarantee?
Was it 110, 115?
No, it was $98.7 million.
Oh, full guarantee, not expected.
No, not. We made it very clear this was full guarantee at signing. This was not the
what a great prop though.
Great line. I said 97 to 98. He came in at 98.7. I said Ryan. You said Rodgers. You thought he would go over 100. I'm surprised he didn't.
I thought he would go over 100. So yeah, I was probably thinking too much in terms of practical guarantees, but by the letter of the law, yeah, I did think 100 would, I just thought there was something symbolic about the benchmark and I thought he would get there, but what do I know?
Now the first
by a million.
First $100 million quarterback is going to be Dak Prescott.
That's going to be special.
It's going to be special. Let's do some AFC East props. We have a couple of them here for us. Another Browns one, actually, when it comes to the AFC East. Browns wins -0.5, Patriots losses. We both said the Browns were going to win this one, and we, in fact, were correct. The Browns had 7 wins. The Patriots had 5 losses.
You know what's amazing about this is it seems like it was a really well-done prop. It certainly could have gone the other way. The interesting thing about it is thinking that the Browns won 7 games, mm-hmm. and we're sitting here looking probably mostly at the first 5 games of the season and thinking, wow, there was a few more wins to be had there. Of course, if those few wins happen, I cannot choose the glass in front of you because Hugh Jackson might stick around longer, Bill. It really cuts both ways.
There was a very narrow path to them winning 10 games, and it involved Hugh Jackson being so bad in the first week of the year that they were like, oh, no, it's time to go. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think the Browns were the right side here even before the season started, and I feel pretty good about it. Elsewhere in the AFC East, another Patriots wins bet. Jets and Dolphins and Bills combined wins -9.5. The win total of the New England Patriots. The three other teams combined for 17 wins. The Pats had 11. So the Patriots ended up winning that bet. We both picked the Patriots. However, you asked me who I thought would be the second place team in the AFC East. I suggested the Miami Dolphins. You suggested that you might believe the New York Jets would have a path to the second best record in the AFC East, and that was not the case.
Did I mention Sam Darnold was really good in December, Bill?
He was. He was great. He was very solid in December. And as it turns out, I would pick them to be the second place team next year.
Yeah, I like that. It's the invariably we're gonna fall into the trap. You won't. But I think that, you know, general public will. If a team's got a gazillion dollars in money to spend in free agency, you're going to mm-hmm. say, wow, this team really improved themselves. And then we're going to think they improved themselves with players that other teams kind of said that they didn't need anymore. And the Jets are also in a really interesting position with the number 3 pick in the draft. I mean, they could be in a situation where they're asking the New York Giants for a ton of future compensation to get up to that spot. It's an interesting spot. That'll definitely be they have their quarterback. That'll definitely be a spot, Bill, where if you fall in love with a Dwayne Haskins or a Kyler Murray, you might need to get to that spot to get one of them. So they really do have a good chance to improve their team.
I agree. I'm worried they're going to spend $16 million on Tyrell Williams or something in that vein, but I do think they are in a good spot to improve. 5.4 Pythagorean wins for the Jets versus a 4-12 record from a year ago. We had one more. Yes, AFC is the bet. Bills related bet here. The interception total of Buffalo quarterbacks -9.5. Buffalo Bills wins from last year. 23 picks for the Bills. 6 victories for Buffalo. This one, a dominant performance from the Bills quarterbacks. And I will say, in our preview podcast, you can go back and listen. I projected, when prompted by you, 23 interceptions for the Bills, and they threw 23 interceptions.
That is really remarkable. I mean, well, especially when
quarterbacks.
I think the interesting thing is that you and I said this. I believe we agreed that, if not on the total of 23, but one thing that Bills fans took for granted during the Tyrod Taylor era was he is just remarkably interception averse.
Yes.
The downside of that, I think, was always they thought he was just generally too risk averse overall and didn't make enough throws, took enough shots. But we said, hey, the flip side of that is wait till those interception totals start showing up again, and it will change the fortunes of your team. By the way, the Buffalo Bills were number two overall in defensive DVOA, something people tend to forget about the 2018 NFL season, which means if they had thrown, say, I don't know, half of those interceptions, a quarter, I think you're talking about a playoff team or pretty close to it.
Yeah, absolutely in the discussion. I think that they would be in the playoff considerations. 10 picks from the Bills last year, 5 of which came from Nate Peterman. Another one. Sorry, 6 from the combination of Nate Peterman and Joe Webb, who I did not know, I have to admit, threw a pass for the Bills in 2017. And I think the argument would have been, oh, well, the sack rate's going to decline because Tyrod's going to take a lot of sacks when he went through interceptions. And only went from 9% in 2017 to 7.6%. in 2018. So obviously I think Bills fans are excited about Josh Allen. We will certainly see, but early returns on that combination of quarterbacks, obviously Nathan Peterman playing a big role, was not especially impressive.
Bill,
one more.
I got to cut you off though. What's really exciting is the Bills finally have that running quarterback that they've been seeking. We had to mention it. Josh Allen ran wild past even a bullish projection on what Tyrod Taylor could do from a running standpoint.
So let me throw another quarterback rushing one out there that you projected to a T.
All right.
Patrick Mahomes rushing touchdowns, +4.5. Alex Smith interceptions. Obviously, the Alex Smith side of this bet was compromised by his injury. He threw 5 interceptions, I believe, this year with Washington before suffering his broken leg. Patrick Mahomes only ran for 2 rushing touchdowns. So even though he only got to 2, his side of the bet came through, which I bet on. You picked Alex Smith, but you said, I think Patrick Mahomes runs for 2 or 3 touchdowns this year. He ran for 2.
Yeah, you know, Patrick Mahomes, by the way, threw for 50. the thing about Patrick Mahomes, I just think he's a guy, and I don't know if how I said it, if it was exactly the way I'm saying it now, but I do think he is a guy that is mobile with the intent to throw. I mean, half the highlight reel of the 2018 season was Patrick Mahomes rolls right.
Yeah.
You know, the throws against the Niners early in the season, he sets up his arm with his mobility, not unlike a guy like Aaron Rodgers, really. He'll climb, he'll go right, he'll go left, but you know, I just think that it was a little bit of a misnomer that athletic quarterback meant a quarterback who was going to rush for touchdowns. And certainly, I think that played out.
Yeah, and you also pointed out that Andy Reid likes to protect his quarterbacks. And that made total sense, given that they didn't really run Patrick Mahomes all that often. Occasionally it happened, but only finished the year with 60 rushes, and you got to figure a chunk of those were going to be kneel downs. So overall, I thought not really a big running season from him. Obviously, I think fantasy owners, Chiefs fans, anyone who saw Patrick Mahomes happy with how it turned out in his second season. One more quarterback rushing one here. Russell Wilson. This was the Mina Kimes Memorial prop bet, I believe. Russell Wilson rushing touchdowns, +6.5. All other Seahawks players rushing touchdowns. Do you know how many rushing touchdowns Russell Wilson had this year?
0.
He had 0. He did not run for a single touchdown. That's shocking to me.
It is, but, you know, really quickly, you know, you and I joked about it, but the Seahawks offensively were partying like it was 1985. I mean, they were, the run pass ratio was, seemed like something from another era because it was something from another era. This team was, stubborn or disciplined. You could go either way on it in terms of really, really, really pushing the run game right up until a playoff loss, as many Seahawks fans would like to point out. But sure enough, yeah, it's Russell Wilson rushed for 0 touchdowns, and the Seahawks running backs or other Seahawks runners rushed for 15, I had down.
Yep, 15 is correct.
What I think that the thing that was that set up this prop, though, it was a blowout here, obviously, but what set it up was that in the previous season, I think Seattle running backs rushed for something like 1 or 2. I mean, it was
J.D. McKissick, I believe, was the only Seahawks running back
to run
for a touchdown.
Running game, if you can possibly fathom this now, take us back just 12 months. We were talking about a team where McKissick, who's basically a wide receiver, rushed for a touchdown and nobody else had a single one, which is unfathomable now. Chris Carson, I believe, had nine, you know, 15 from the group. So, yeah, I mean, it's this prop will look a lot different next year. I'll put it that way.
We'll run it back next year with a slightly different set of action. Yeah. What other ones do we have? I will throw in another running back one here. Ezekiel Elliott, rushing touchdowns, plus 3.5. By the way, we took Seahawks running backs for both those things. Yes. We both won. Ezekiel Elliott, rushing touchdowns, plus 3.5. The receiving touchdowns of all Cowboys wide receivers combined. You picked Cowboys receivers. I picked Zeke, who only had 6 rushing touchdowns. Cowboys wideouts combined for 14 with some help along the way from an unexpected addition.
Yeah, Amari Cooper really shifted this one. I think Amari came in with 6 just for the Cowboys, sometimes in rather dramatic fashion.
That's true. He had 3 in one game.
Yeah, you could put this out next year. I'm shocked at the end of the season that Zeke only had 6 rushing touchdowns. You know, there were some health issues up front that manifested themselves and probably held that number down a little bit. But yeah, the addition of Amari Cooper really changed everything. I don't know. I have to. We got to talk to the Westgate. Does this one actually get pulled off the board, Bill?
No, absolutely not. I will say, I don't know if you saw Cole Beasley pointed out that Cowboys owners decide where Dak Prescott throws the football. Do you think they chose to feed their wide receivers to try and make me lose this prop bet?
I would launch an investigation. That's probably what I'll be doing the entire combine. If you see me sneaking around Cowboy One, looking for playbooks, I'll be looking. It's all to settle a prop bet debate.
Well, if years past are any indication, you can find the Cowboys bus at the Indianapolis Hooters, I believe is where I've seen it parked outside more than once in my trips to the combine as we walk around downtown Indianapolis. All right, we're going to get back to more player prop discussion with Chris Sprau here on the Bill Barnwell Show in a moment. All right, back here on the Bill Barnwell Show, I'm Bill Barnwell of ESPN, joined again by ESPN's Chris Sprau. We are breaking down player props from our 2018 preseason podcast. And Chris, Saquon Barkley. This was a really fascinating one because we were both wrong about this one.
Yes.
Saquon Barkley rushing and receiving touchdowns -0.5. Versus the maximum rushing and receiving touchdowns of any running back taken after the first round. He had 15. No other back had more than 10, and it was Nick Chubb, and then it was Philip Lindsay, who was on exactly zero people's radars as a double-digit touchdown scorer in year one. We talked about Royce Freeman, talked about Darius Geis. Both those guys obviously had different roles than we were expecting. Geis got hurt. Freeman played a backup role to Lindsay, who had a great year. But yeah, Saquon Barkley, 15 rushing and receiving touchdowns. So you can type that into your gifts. Saquon Barkley, offensive rookie of the year and prop bet winner.
You know, the interesting thing here too is we essentially said we'll take the field. There's a lot of running backs here. We saw opportunities to start in Washington. Mm-hmm. We saw opportunities to start in Denver, maybe the wrong guy. With Freeman there at the time, we thought Freeman would get the bulk of the carries. This is really just a credit to how productive Saquon Barkley was. I mean, obviously you have the 10 rushing touchdowns, but aside from the breakout touchdown season from Calvin Ridley, who had 10, Anthony Miller had 7 receiving touchdowns, Saquon Barkley is tied with a group of pretty solid rookie pass catchers with 5 touchdown catches. Antonio Callaway, Dante Pettis, a guy who, you know, there's pretty high hopes for in San Francisco. So bottom line, Saquon Barkley was just a tremendously productive rookie. Carried the ball 261 times for 1,300 yards, caught 91 balls. So for him to dominate the field in the way he did is really just a credit to him. Cause again, Nick Chubb obviously, you know, essentially debuted a little bit too late after the Carlos Hyde trade. You give 16 games of Nick Chubb, what in terms of volume that Saquon Barkley got, you might be talking about the actual another rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. His production was really that good on a per game basis. But yeah, I mean, I still question the draft pick. I'd much rather have Sam Darnold as my quarterback going into 2019 than the embers of Eli Manning and whatever that is worth. But credit to Saquon Barkley, man. Gettleman was right, man. He's the number two pick. We're going to get him the ball.
Well, let me ask you. Would you take Saquon Barkley against the same field next year?
No.
No, you go back to the field.
I'll still go to the field. Give me Nick Chubb in a more dynamic offense over 16 games. Yes, I realize that involves Kareem Hunt, you know, whatever happens with Duke Johnson. I just here's the reason I would fade Saquon Barkley for another year, because he did touch the ball 400 times. Sorry, I'm just going to look at that position scientifically or mathematically and just say, hey, you know, Saquon Barkley's going to touch the ball a lot, and maybe he's only going to play in 12 or 13 games in a season, like running backs tend to do who touch the ball a ton.
Yeah. Not out of the question.
I love a guy and fade him, Bill, at the same time.
It's a very, very complex emotional reaction to Saquon Barkley. Speaking of things I love and also fade, David Johnson, total touchdowns, +2.5. Leicester City's Premier League finish.
So complicated.
So complicated. Such a complicated bet, especially because the season is not over yet.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's Leicester right now? I was trying to basically troll you here.
It succeeded.
Succeeded.
I will say, I said Leicester would finish 12th. I said David Johnson would have a big season. So far, that's half right. That David Johnson doesn't have a big season, finished with 10 touchdowns. Leicester is currently 12th. So Leicester is within two spots of David Johnson. Leicester covers this bet here, I believe. Leicester covers this bet here. This is a complicated one. We both picked David Johnson, though, and he got touches. He just was in playing for the worst offense in football.
If you would like to read some fabulous Premier League writing, check out Bill Barnwell on ESPN FC.
That's not accurate, unfortunately. 300 touches for David Johnson. Did not work out well for him. I think he's going to be fine next year. I think if they have a healthier offensive line, I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to get him the football.
Yes, I agree.
You didn't sound too sure about that.
No, I just think they will.
One more Cowboys one, which we did not get to earlier. Eagles wins, -1.5, Cowboys wins. And you won this one, and you picked the Cowboys. And you said the Cowboys, you didn't think the Cowboys were 1.5 games worse than the Eagles, and you were concerned about Carson Wentz coming back from an ACL tear. And my response was, that's crazy.
I'm really proud of this one. I was looking these over, trying to remember where I was, and I was absolutely certain that I was on Cowboys. I just didn't think they were, I thought there was some regression here. I just didn't think they were as bad as they looked the previous year, and I was really bullish on, some young components of that defense. If Jaylon Smith could play a lot of football this year, if Van Der Esch could play a lot of football this year, I thought they would be better on the defensive side of the ball. And mostly it was just mostly a little bit of a slight fade on the Eagles. I just thought the Eagles, a lot of things had to go right for them to win the Super Bowl, including, you know, obviously a brilliant performance by Nick Foles, and a lot of things go right to have to win 11, 12 games again. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, where would you set that line for in 2019 in terms of Cowboys wins versus Eagles wins?
Wow. I mean, I'd have to look at the schedule. I think I'd still.
I mean, you know, they're playing the same 14 teams, and the Cowboys are playing
a
first place schedule, and the Eagles are playing a second place schedule.
Yeah. I mean, it's damn near a push, don't you think, Bill?
I'd go Eagles -1.5.
Okay.
If it's a push, you can give me a good amount of action on the Eagles.
Yeah, that sounds right. So you'd probably, if you open it very quickly, the money would come in and you'd end up with the Eagles at a half. If you're keeping the balance of your book right.
Pythagorean expectation for 2018, Eagles 8.5 wins, Cowboys 8.4 wins. Maybe a push isn't that far off.
But Bill, at the Barnwell Sportsbook, it's all about where you can generate the action.
It's all about where you can generate the action is correct. And a classic at the Barnwell Sportsbook. Combined number of losses.
Oh, no.
From each of the 8 last placed teams in the NFL last year, +0.5. 2018 New York Mets losses. We differed here. I picked the 8 teams and you said the Mets were going to fade. And the Mets somehow, I don't know how or why, or it's inexplicable, the Mets were 18-10 in September after we recorded that podcast. The Mets finished with 85 losses and the field finished with 90 losses. So the eight teams, the eight last place teams were the victors in this one.
How much, how many bets did you generate at the Barnwell Sportsbook on that one?
A lot of Mets action at the Barnwell Sportsbook. It's located in Flushing, Queens, is the location of the Barnwell Sportsbook. So, yeah, you were sort of arguing there was going to be a lot of parity in the NFL this year. And I actually agree with you. I think it was a year where we had a lot of parity, but we had some teams that we, you know, I don't think we saw the Raiders tanking the way they did. This was before the Khalil Mack trade, I believe. The Cardinals obviously were beset by injuries. The Jags, a team I thought was going to be good, were in fact actually bad. The Jets, who we thought were going to be better than I think they were 4-12. So a good amount of bad teams by the end of the season. And the Mets got hot. I don't know how or why, but they did.
I don't know either. You know, the interesting thing is I think I pointed out at the time that the Browns during that 1-31 stretch, like that just doesn't even happen.
Right.
So I thought that, you know, the Browns becoming essentially what they were, a competitive mid-tier team, might help out, but...
Well, I actually think
Mets?
In years past, if you look at the last place total, it had been like 93, 94 typically. So you were right in that.
Yep.
It was a smaller total than we usually get. Just the Mets, again, I don't know how or why, but they got hot in September and gave their fans some hope finally for 2019. We'll see how that goes for them. In terms of one we both got right. A few more here to go. Tom Brady passing yards, -199.5. Jimmy Garoppolo passing yards. And the argument we both made was that we were concerned about Jimmy Garoppolo getting injured. And I don't like celebrating quarterbacks getting injured. Obviously, I would rather Jimmy Garoppolo stay healthy. But certainly that was the case here. Jimmy Garoppolo did not make it past week three towards ACL.
Yeah, I think I recall saying that sort of – sorry, sad. But at the time, I just said, hey, the one thing that we don't know is if Jimmy Garoppolo can stay on a football field for an entire season. I said, if you were going to set the over-under on games played by Jimmy Garoppolo in 2018, you wouldn't be malicious by setting it at, like, I don't know, 12.5. Well, we didn't even get close. And they still, if with the coach that they have and probably a couple more pieces they'll be able to add – McGlinchey played 16 games and quite well. There's some reasons for optimism there. But again, it's the thing we still don't know about Jimmy Garoppolo going forward is if he can stay on a football field. And I think if he does, he's going to be really good. If you put this number in front of me again next year, I don't know. I might be on Garoppolo's side. But
I mean, I can tell you can prepare the art for the five teams likely to improve piece for 2019. Now the Niners are going to be on there.
Yep.
It's just a question of, does Garoppolo stay healthy, and are they a 9 or 10 win team, or does he get hurt, and are they a 5 or 6 win team?
I'm going to prepare the art for a Nick Mullins in the MVP watch.
Yes. That's actually going to be a good prop bet next year. Nick Mullins touchdown passes versus Nick Foles touchdown passes. Nick Foles probably like -8.5 or so.
Oh, wow. The Barnwell Sportsbook is already... There's a line outside right now.
Hey, listen, Vegas had 2019 odds open. That's Niners awesome. Are 40-1 to win the Super Bowl.
Ooh, get in early.
Get in early. Get in while you have the chance. One more AFC East one here. We had Jarvis Landry receiving yards +100.5. The combined receiving yards of his replacement in Miami. The culture crew, Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson's combined receiving yards.
This was pretty wild. Jarvis Landry ends up with 976 yards. I think I was on the wrong side of this. I think I saw him at, I don't know. Actually, I can't even remember which side of it I was on.
You were on Amendola and Wilson.
Oh, good, good, good. Amendola and Wilson. This is amazing. Jarvis Landry with 976 receiving yards. Correct. Amendola and Wilson with 966. I was all kinds of wrong. But an inch. I'll tell you what, it ended up interesting. I mean, nearly identical.
Well, I mean, Albert Wilson also got hurt.
Albert Wilson got hurt.
I think if Albert Wilson doesn't get hurt, we win this bet.
Yeah.
You said, to be clear, do not consider my pick here an endorsement of the Miami Dolphins, which was smart.
Yes.
That's hedging your bets right there. Jarvis Landry, disappointing season to some extent. Obviously getting paid like a number one guy, did not produce number one guy numbers, but certainly a, he won the bet. That's all you can ask for. Three more here. Vikings rank in defensive DVOA, -3.5. The Saints defensive rank in DVOA. This was a victory for me. I had the Vikings side of it. They finished fourth in defensive DVOA. Saints were 11th. They improved dramatically over the second half of the season, but did not able to catch up after that, I guess, rough start to the first couple games of the campaign.
Yeah, and I think we set this up as essentially just kind of who do you think will regress more. It right. seemed like the Saints previous season, the defense was unlike things we've seen from the Saints defense in years, really. And the Vikings defense was very good. Could they stay as healthy? It was an extremely healthy defense in 2017. Vikings defense, to their credit, stayed really, really good. Yeah, New Orleans, I don't know if we take New Orleans over the second half of the season, they were a borderline top five defense.
Right.
But they, again, they started so poorly, including, you know, the game everybody forgets, but you certainly didn't, you know, losing at home against Tampa Bay to start the season in disastrous defensive fashion. They were playing, from behind early.
That was a strange game. That was one of the weirdest games of the 2019 season. I think Bills-Vikings was up there in terms of unlikely performances.
Yes.
Cardinals-Packers, the Mike McCarthy firing game. But yeah, that was a strange, strange game for sure. The Vikings defense, I wrote before the year, their third down performance was going to regress. They were the best third down defense in 2017, 25.2% conversion rate, the best third down defense of the last, since 2001. That's what you have data for at ESPN. They did regress. They were the 12th best defense
right.
on third down since 2001. So a little worse for sure, but still pretty remarkably high up there. So still a great defense in many ways. Two more to go. Jared Goff interceptions, -1.5. Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib interceptions, excuse me. You picked Jared Goff, and your argument was, I wonder if Aqib Talib plays 16 games.
Doesn't sound too bad.
You got it. You nailed it. 12 picks for Jared Goff, 4 picks combined for Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib.
And by the way, I don't recall what I projected, but I thought 12 picks from Goff was probably 3 or 4 more than I would have even guessed overall. I just tend to if you take, I don't care who they are, you take any pair of cornerbacks and you start talking about 8, 9, 10 interceptions, I'll just fade it every single time.
That's fine.
Between a combination of health and just that's a really random number year to year.
Smart. Very smart action. Very smart move. Jared Goff, interception rate in 2017 was 1.5%. That was likely to improve. I don't know that I thought he was going to throw 12. I didn't know he was going to run into the Bears. That changed things, unfortunately, no. for him. But yeah, 12, certainly. So, you had the right side of the action there. Let's finish up with the dumbest prop bet of the 2018 season at the old Barnwell Sportsbook. It was the average age as of September 1st of the score of a Raiders rushing or receiving touchdown +1.5 Philip Rivers passing touchdowns for the season.
I remember becoming emotionally exhausted, staring at this prop the night before and probably falling asleep. And then I think I just threw a Hail Mary on Rivers. I can't remember.
Well, you picked Rivers and you said Rivers was going to throw 32 touchdowns. Do you know how many he threw this year?
It's got to be pretty close.
He threw 32 touchdowns this year.
Holy mackerel.
So that's
Gabe,
dart.
Cut that. Put it on my tombstone.
That dart came right through. 32 touchdowns. That can be on your tombstone, and right next to you, Todd Gurley's tombstone can say my knee is fine.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I picked it cold. I totally had forgotten that.
You got it. You know that. And I will say, I feel happy because the line wasn't really that bad.
No.
The Raiders like side it. Of this bet came in at 29.9 years of age. So that half point meant a big difference. It had been 2, it would have come closer. It would have been 2.1 was the difference in terms of Rivers touchdowns and the average Raiders age. So that line was right on. I don't think I'm ever going to do that one again because it took too much work to figure out how to calculate it, but I was pretty pleased.
The key with the Barnwell Sportsbook is to create props where people bet them and bet them enthusiastically, and they're so complicated that they can't even remember which side of it they were on. So, yeah, I mean, that's good.
The Rube Goldberg prop process here at the Bill Barnwell Show. So because you did not have any discernible action on the Kirk Cousins Case Keenum bet, I won our competition very narrowly. I went 11-7. You went 10-7. But you know what?
This is devastating.
We both would have made a profit at the book.
You know what? We did. We covered the big, and I think this is good for you from a confidence standpoint. I think I dusted you the year previously.
Yes, I think you did.
But I also think that year was marred by a handful more of your totally insane, indecipherable props, and I might have just gotten lucky because I just had to pick a side.
That's smart. You know what? Don't waste the brain energy trying to figure out these props because they're designed to just wear you down, have you make a dumb decision.
Let me ask you, just as you look at the sheet, which one are you just kind of most proud of? Either you came up with a prop and it looks really good, or you just nailed it.
I think the Raiders one is a good one.
It is.
I think it came real close. I mean, it was within less than one year, one touchdown. I mean, Rivers, you know, if he takes week 17 and just happens to, you know, sit out an extra quarter, he loses this bet. It's really close. And the Raiders are a dumb team. And I think it was smart to expect them, their older players, to get the chunk of the touchdowns. And they did.
Yeah.
A lot of Jared Cook, a little bit of Marshawn Lynch, a little bit of Jordy Nelson, a lot of Doug Martin, actually. Doug Martin, I think, had 5 touchdowns. So, it was right to fade the Raiders' young players.
I'm particularly proud of the taking the Cowboys.
Yes.
And the Eagles wins -1.5, Cowboys wins, just because that was definitely a punch Sproul in the face kind of, a reaction from Eagles fans, which, by the way, I think is like perfectly justified. I basically said I thought the team would fade and I was concerned about Carson Wentz's health, which is, mm-hmm. you know, there was a lot of excitement around that team and I think it was deserved. And I think a healthy Carson Wentz, with what they have there is an MVP candidate. But, I think that the interesting thing is that the Cowboys, there was maybe a little bit more there than we thought. And by the way, I don't know if I would have been right if they don't get Amari Cooper either. So
yeah, that
took a bit of randomness.
Great.
Yeah.
That couldn't have felt great after that Titans game on Monday Night Football.
No.
Wouldn't have felt too strong. But we'll come back. We're going to have this. We'll have the next round of the competition, presumably, in August. Prop bets year 3, 4? I feel like it's year 4 at this point.
It might only be 3. It feels like 4 just from the, like I said, the exhaustion associated with trying to come up with these props and or explain them.
All right. Well, Chris Sproul, are you podcast hosting again this year?
For you or for First Draft?
First Draft,
yes. Still going strong. I don't call that I'm hosting. I'm playing McShay Kuiper air traffic control. I basically just keep them from flying into each other.
Well, you do a wonderful role at that. You do great work editing the NFL section here at ESPN.com. We'll have you back on in August for the next round of our props. Thanks for hopping on the show.
Thank you. I'll have my people call your people, and we'll get a 2019 set up here.
All right. Thanks so much to my guest, Chris Sproul of ESPN. Check out the First Draft podcast. Highly recommend it if you want to hear about the college prospects in advance of the 2019 NFL draft coming up in a couple months. And we'll have more audio coming next week. One podcast a week from here on out. Like I said, during the off season, more football, I think, coming next week. Thanks for listening.